Yeah, well, I mean, 420, so
We've been doing it.
Cheech and Chong joke.
Sure.
You got one? Go. Do your Cheech and Chong something. I don't know if anyone's expecting it. Our listeners probably aren't big 420 people.
Okay, you gotta set it up.
Do you know what 420 is, though?
No, all I know is up in smoke and
No, but do you know what 420 means?
oh no. Is that like the number of rotations that I can do on a skateboard?
I'm actually asking you. I'm dead serious. You don't know the 420 reference?
No.
Oh, you are a nerd. Good for you, though. You shouldn't know. You're an adult.
Okay. What's the reference?
It's code for Mary Jane.
That's the code?
Yeah, 420.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, big day for you then.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna go ask other people if they know.
Hello and welcome to episode 420 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam.
Blam. We'll know where you are.
Yeah, I like to mix it up.
In Vancouver, Canada, for those of you keeping track at home. What's going on, Adam?
Another
Car
day.
fixed. Yes,
Yeah.
car
Oh, yeah.
fixed.
Well, car it's a new car, so it's just its first service.
Okay.
Yeah, I did that, so we had to delay our recording. But here we are. We made it. The car oil and filter changed. So there you go.
Okay.
Where can
Did they
you
still
maybe
do
buy
that?
your oil and filters?
Can you must be able to buy oil on Amazon?
For sure you can. And filters for sure.
Could you change your own oil?
I mean, I could pretty much do anything if I spent enough time, so I'm gonna say yes, I could
Without
do.
YouTubing.
Oh no, I'd have to YouTube. Yeah.
Okay. I would if I was changing the oil in your car, I would have to YouTube it because I mean maybe. I don't know that they just have a you can just crank it open in the bottom of the oil pan anymore. There's probably some computers involved.
Yeah, I think there is, but either way, I mean, for what it costs me, I can't be bothered.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
And generally what they like even way back in the day. Now I've never actually paid for an oil change in my life. My dad always did it or I would go do it and he showed me how, but I always also drove $200 cars.
Right.
Then my first car cost $200.
Okay.
Not brand new, was not brand new. 1980 Toyota Tercel.
Yeah.
How many years old would that been? When did I buy it? Mid-90s or something. So it had been beat up.
It's a bad car.
Beige.
Yeah, we got
Was a
it. It's
great car.
a bad
Great
car.
car.
Yeah.
Oh no, it was a great car.
My first car, Toyota Corolla.
So we went with both went Toyotas.
Yeah, it was a really bad car, but it served me for university.
Was it beige?
No, it was blue.
Mine was beige, except for the driver's side door, which was brown because it was a replacement.
I sold my car when I was done with university to one of my friends for $100.
Oh, see,
Yeah.
he lowballed me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought mine for 200 and crashed it. So I ended up I think I sold it for around $150 for the scrap metal after I totaled it.
Wow.
Yeah. It was great though. I missed that car. Five speed. It used to have six. It used to have reverse at the beginning, and then that went. And so I drove it for about a year and a half with no reverse.
Nice.
Yeah, you can do it. You can make it
Yeah,
happen.
you don't need reverse.
Negative. In fact, the starter went for a while, so I also had to jump start it a lot.
Awesome. Yeah.
Not jump start it. I mean,
Push start it.
bump start it. Yeah,
Yeah.
but I'd be by myself, so I have bump started that thing by myself on a flat, like not even on a hill. Like just pushed it in the parking lot and jumped in and got her done.
Hey, Grandpa, tell me about when you were little.
That's what I'm saying. So, but nowadays, I don't think. First of all, kids are missing out on that. Your kids will never have that experience.
What about Amazon? My kids will have that, right?
They can buy a brand new car on Amazon, a self-driving car, most
There you
likely.
go. Yeah.
By the time they turn 16, it'll just be self-driving cars.
I'm sure it will be.
God, that'll be boring. There's no way when a self-driving car, you're going to be able to turn the windshields, like the passenger side windshield squirter. You're not going to be able to turn that out to the street and drive down Robson and hose people down.
Yeah, that'll be a shame.
I miss those days, man. All right. Anyway, check it out on Amazon. If you need some fun, you can probably buy fun on Amazon. Click through our site and help us out. That's what Adam's trying to say.
Yeah. At least you could probably buy a sparkly banner that says fun, fun, fun all the way across it.
I'll bet you can. If not, yeah. I think we're in the wrong business. We should get in the fun, fun, fun. It's not fun. Banners aren't fun. Okay. We've gone off the rails here.
Yeah. Photo. Photo show.
Yeah, okay. So in the term of category of what's going on, I may have screwed up the Two Hosers website.
Okay.
Probably fixed now, I think, as far as I can tell. I was looking under the hood, speaking of doing maintenance. I was looking under the hood and thinking about, you know, hey, it's been like 7-8 years. Should we change the overall look of the website, the theme maybe? See if it, I wanted to see if there's anything new in the website realm.
Yeah.
And so as I'm looking, I guess one of the ones I looked at accidentally got assigned to our site, so it changed it all around, changed the theme, and I went to undo it, and it can't undo it, so I put it back to the other theme, but it went to the default and it was a bit of a mess. So if there is issues with the website, let us know. I think I managed to put it back to how it was generally. Good okay. stuff. Okay. Yeah, yeah, you're on pins and edge of your seat.
I was just kind of waiting for you to stop talking.
Good luck. Okay. Yeah. There you go. So what's going on with you though? I mean, besides the car fix, Vancouver, what's going on? You got hockey tournaments? What's the
hockey tournament upcoming next week? Baseball not too far off. I think they start, you know, Jack's at an age now where they do evaluations, so they can make even teams. It's not so,
yeah.
This is not trial based.
No. I've been through all of that. I've been through the evaluations to make even teams. There is so much back channel nonsense.
Oh, I'm sure. But I mean,
there are coaches.
Yeah.
I used to coach teams too. When I was 18, 19, while playing, I would also coach a team of like the 12, 13-year-old kids. And me and aforementioned Randall from a couple episodes ago, we talked about him. Christmas episode, Randall. He and I coached, we played baseball together, right? So he and I coached a team and didn't know like most of the kids, obviously. Why would I be, you know, I wouldn't know a bunch of 13-year-old kids. And so we go to these evaluations. Well, we find out later that some of the coaches had told a few of the players, just tank it. Tank it at the evaluation so I can pick you up in a lower round.
Right, right.
These are 13-year-old kids playing house league. What you doing, Dad?
Yeah, I'm sure there is some of that. But all I was getting at before it took a turn there was that it's not too far off. Baseball's coming up soon. So
yeah.
Jack and I going to start going out to the batting cage and just play around because we like to do that and looking for, you know, some things to do outside more. And when the weather's not great, at least the cage is covered. And so mm-hmm. I'm going to take advantage of, we have these great facilities and people don't use them. And so when we don't have hockey, maybe at least once a week, I'm going to start going out there to the batting cage and playing baseball again.
Nice.
Yeah. So there's that. From a photo standpoint, I was supposed to do some more on-ice hockey photos for, you know, I was saying earlier how word gets around, you do something, one coach shows a coach friend of his, and then you know, I got a email this week and a phone call regarding coaches from different associations wanting to do some hockey photos. So the big
associations.
Yeah, this one's from a Burnaby coach. But the challenge of all of this is, you know, I have to go to their rink because they're not going to have practice time in Richmond. So I have to coordinate a time where I can do that. And then on top of that, they would like you know, if they have 12 or 13 players, they would like all players to be there at this practice. Well, good luck coordinating those two things. So we thought we had a date this weekend, and then two of their players, you know, aren't now going to be at the practice. So we got to coordinate, and my time is limited, and coming out to their association is tricky. So anyways, we'll figure some of that out, but I'm hoping to do, this is actually, a girls team, from Burnaby. So hopefully I'll do that stuff. And if I get permission, then I'll post a few photos, of that. But, other than that, yeah, nothing too exciting from a photographic standpoint. Oh, actually that's not true. I cleaned out, I've been cleaning out our house, and I might've talked about this last week, but, getting rid of books and tidying up our house, and, came across one of the photo books that I bought, a couple years ago when we had Neil Van Niekerk on the show, mm-hmm. Direction and Quality of Light. And I reread it because I just thought, I haven't looked at this for a couple years. I'm going to look at this again. And I was fresh off the heels of Chris Marquardt's book, and I was in the mood for more photographic information, and read that book again, and so good. Everybody should buy that book if you don't mm-hmm. have it and you're interested in portrait photography. I should get his other books as well, because I know there's one or two books that are kind of precursors. They're not exactly
the bounce. He's a book all about bounce flash.
Yeah, and then I think he has a book like a one light book or something, maybe.
Possibly. I haven't kept up. I have his first book, which I bought like right before we even did the podcast, I think, and loved it. Like, highly recommend his book.
Oh, so practical. Like, just this, I mean, page after page, not only is it written a way that's easy to understand, but you get, you know, kind of behind the scenes glimpses as how he's doing all these shots. And, you know, there's a section on video light, and there's, you know, just a section on just, you know, making the most of the lights available is kind of the whole topic of the book. And I find myself doing that now anyways, almost automatically. But I realize that there's all these situations where maybe, you know, there's a better way to go about it. And here's what he's looking for. And yeah, just really practical mm-hmm. book that I think everybody should have. And I like it even more now that I've got more of a baseline amount of knowledge. So I can do even sure. more with it now. So yeah, highly recommend that book.
What I like about him and Strobus David Hobby in particular is that both of them, I assume they sought to do this, but either way, that's what they did, is they helped demythologize the whole process.
Right.
Which is, you know, like a lot of photographers like to blabber on about, you know, say super, super technical jargon that basically distances newbies from getting in the game. And these guys didn't. They basically said, no, come on, forget that nonsense. You can do this. Here's how you do it. And they don't care. They didn't care if you're going to compete with them. And what I like about that is, like, these two guys, and there's others as well, I like to think it's you and I would fall into that category somewhere down the list. But it seems to have caught on a lot, because I find I encounter fewer people who are secretive than I used to. Like, it used to be a lot of people like, no, I'm not going to divulge my secrets, and no, you couldn't do this. They're pushing people down, and that's not happening anymore, as far as I can tell.
Right, I agree. I think everyone's happy to share how they did something.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really, you're too stupid to take pictures, Adam, but, right. You know, I feel better about myself now.
Right.
That's how it works. That's not how rockets get into the into outer space, man.
Okay.
Hashtag that.
Sure.
Reminder, monthly challenge for this month for January is bounce board. Have you done yours yet?
No.
I've not done mine. I've bounce boarded a couple things though. Okay. Not strictly bounce board, but I've used it in a couple of photos. So I don't think it's going to be my challenge photo. I'm going to do something else.
Is it bounce board only, or is it bounce board as the key light, or
just bounce board? If you take a photo of somebody bouncing on a board, I'm going to count that.
Okay, all right.
Use a bounce board, and the main reason I really want this is because it's one of those things that you can do for slightly more expensive than zero, And I mean like you could do this for 15 cents, maybe 30 cents with the tape.
If anyone out there owns an auto shade, that makes a super sweet silver bounce.
Yes. Or if somebody in your complex leaves their window down a lot.
Sure. Yeah, you can just take theirs. Yeah.
Just grab theirs. They'll understand. It's for the show, man.
You can give it back after.
Yeah, I'm demythologizing the window shade business. All right. Anyway, hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge or hashtag Hey Hosers on the Instagram, and we will check it out in a couple weeks.
Oh, deleted my Facebook, so I got rid of it entirely.
Fully deleted.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if Zuckerberg has a way of putting it back up there because he really thinks I deserve to be there, but I went through the steps of delete account, and then it gives you some stern warnings about, okay, this might lead to the ruin of the rest of your life, but go ahead if you want to.
FOMO alert.
And then when you actually delete it, it's like, okay, but we're going to give you 30 days to reactivate it. Like, so anyways, I got rid of it. I realized I haven't been on it for at least a month. I probably haven't been on before a month ago, and I'm guessing at that. A month ago is probably 2 or 3 months before that, and I just realized I'm just not interested, and I hardly ever, I'm realizing, use my phone at all unless it's maybe to answer a text, and so I'm just trying to maybe be a good role model to my children. That's probably the biggest thing. Plus, what do I need to do that's so important on social media? I don't care about, I mean, that sort of part where I was interested in what my friends from high school were doing, that was probably 10 years ago. Now I don't care. I don't really care anymore. So if they have something really important to tell me, I mean, I guess they'll send me an email or maybe not. But either way, I'm sort of done. I was never really an Instagram presence. So I have a Two Hosers account and maybe I'll check that once every 6 weeks. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Facebook, not a thing for me anymore. So I'm out, people.
Although me and Facebook apparently are having a pretty bad breakup.
Uh-oh.
Like I deleted almost everything from my personal account. The Two Hosers stuff I just left up, but I've not posted in, I don't know if I've probably updated the Two Hosers in 10 months, maybe a year. I don't know. You'd have to look back, but I guess you can't, sucker. I stopped updating that and just left it all there to sit. And then all of my stuff, my own personal page, I went through and deleted 99.9% of it and just left a couple of pictures just so people understand, you know, if you are looking for me to get info or something like that, you can see who I am. It's clear. And then you could then probably send me a email or Google or something like that. I Google my email address. I mean, but meanwhile, so I don't go on it. I don't post. I don't go on it. We live separate lives. I've moved on Facebook, but Facebook is stalking me.
Okay.
I get emails. Like it would go by, like back in the day when I would be on Facebook, I would never get emails. Like it would just be, all right, well, you're on Facebook, man. We got you. And then I stopped for a while and it would be I get the occasional email like, oh, hey, you have 4 updates. And I just be like, no, I don't. There's no way I do because I've not posted anything. And then after a while, it started becoming, hey, did you see what Joseph Puglio posted? Did you see the new video? Hey, Joseph Puglio liked something. And I was like, I don't know who that is. And so basically, I get emails every 3 days with just like, hey, remember me? So it's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's annoying, and I was just done. So there you go.
Yeah. See you later, Mark.
Yeah.
Oh, he's probably shaking in his boots. Hey,
I know. I'm starting something.
A lot of people have started it, and there are positives to the idea of social media. I don't like to come down on it because, you know, that's how you share this show. People do find our show via social media, via Instagram or whatever it is. But on the other hand, you know, meh.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Well, I'll see you, Facebook. Thanks for playing.
Yeah.
All right. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
No, I didn't. Maybe a little bit of video since we talked last. I trying to do some video for year-end movie that I'll make for the hockey team. So took a little bit of video inside the dressing room, sort of a pregame speech. I like to dub it with audio from movies or whatever and make it funny for the kids.
Rudy?
Yeah, no, this time I'm going to use the Friday Night Lights perfect speech. Billy Bob.
Can we be perfect? Yes.
Yeah, Billy Bob Thornton. So I'm going to use that, but also mix in video that is just funny moments of in the dressing room with the kids that doesn't fit with the speech, just to make the kids laugh. So I've been working a little bit on that. Realize that maybe, I mean, I enjoy doing the video. I do find it very challenging doing it with the 6D. I know some of them, you know, maybe the Mark III is a lot better because it does all the face recognition and everything, and so probably the focusing.
No, it does not
do that. Anyways,
Mark
I know
four.
Yeah. I know some of the even some of the lower level amateur cameras on the non full frames, like whatever they're up to now. I don't know what it is now. The 5T or whatever they are. They're not T. The five.
The 7Ti.
Yeah,
T7i.
Those ones all do like the video where it'll do all the autofocus, right?
I don't think the T7i does. It's funny you bring that up because I kind of got into a thing. I was asked by somebody for some camera recommendations, and my wife's school, they bought a boatload of cameras for the kids to use, and they bought the little base model, the entry level called the 2000D, which is a European designation, and I was trying to find the North American equivalent.
Okay.
Which it said it was the 7T or the T7 or whatever. We just
yeah, yeah.
My head's swimming, man. But then I said, no, it's the T7i. And then I'm Googling prices and checking, and it seems the same, but it's not. And I thought this 2000D was going to be a huge recommendation for somebody because they're about 300 and something euros just for the body only, which is an amazing price. It does full HD video. I don't think it has all the facial recognition that you're talking about, but it does all the things. And so I thought, oh, well, this person is going to want it for off-camera flash stuff. That'd be perfect. And I went and tried it, and it doesn't have the center firing pin on the hot shoe, meaning it will not trip my CyberSyncs, but I could not use it. And there's no PC sync port on it either. It's just a bare bones model, right?
Right, right.
And so I basically had to say, don't spend the money on this. And so they're going to spend a little bit more money and buy something better.
Yeah. But what I'm realizing is as much as the video, when it's in focus and if, you know, everybody stays on their point and I can manual focus, the video looks amazing, but it is not an easy task with a whole bunch of moving parts, and especially trying to, you know, video a hockey game, so difficult to get what you want in focus, unless I shoot with a super wide angle. But then when you're watching it back, like the players are much smaller, and so seeing the action isn't ideal. So shooting with the 70 to 200 is great for the video, but then just really difficult to keep everything in focus that I want. So anyways, it is one of those things that I thought, man, like I really enjoy this. And now that my kids are again at a point where they like watching the videos again, like they're really into the video stuff. They don't really want to participate much in the photo side of things, but video is a different story. I would like the ability to make this easier on myself. So that's where I'm at with that. So I don't know.
Get a Mark IV, man.
Yeah. At some point I'm going to have to either just get a cheap camcorder just to do video. Cause I don't know, again, that's the other thing, is I don't know how much I'm going to do it. Yes, I'd like a Mark IV. I know I don't need a Mark IV. So there's a little bit of a dilemma that way. But maybe I find a used version of whatever the amateur crop sensor camera is so that I can use my lenses on it and then go that way. So maybe I'll do a little research. If any of our listeners out there have a camera, one of these amateur six eyes or seven eyes or whatever they're on now, and it does this well for video, just give me a shout. Let us know.
Yes. Yeah. I fully agree. I shot mostly with the Mark II and now the Mark III, which is very similar video wise. I do have the eyepiece, the Zacuto Z Finder,
right?
Or Z Finder, I suppose, if you're down in America. I found I needed that just to keep focus, because watching the LCD screens, okay, but focus can drift a little bit as your subject moves. And if you want to follow them, it's really, really tough to see. The Z Finder is a massive help, but you're going to spend around $400 on it, so you're probably not going to.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'd probably, you know, just as easy sync that into a camera for doing this.
Right, right. And so that's the thing, is these cameras aren't made for dedicated video. They are a massive pain. However, the results are great. And so remember we talked quite some time ago, my first trip to London when I shot the behind the scenes for the Corolla stuff, you said something, oh man, I can really see you, you know, struggling with focus, because I was shooting him backstage when it was super dark, shooting at like a F1.5, and nothing's in focus. And so you have to be just on your game. And so you can see the focus kind of drift in and out a little bit, you know, when they move, but eventually you catch up. But not ideal.
And I thought I might even just switch over and use the RX100 for video. Mm-hmm. But the RX100, I don't even think it's 1080p. It's certainly, when I go to the video options, it doesn't tell me, you know, oh, like this is 1080 at 30 frames per second. It's just, you don't get those options. And so I have to look, I'll have to do a little research and find out what the video actually is on the RX100.
Well, I would just say, just shoot one, put it on your computer, and then open it in QuickTime, hit Apple I, it'll tell you all the info you need to know.
Okay, and then I can also just see if that might be good enough, because it does do the facial recognition. And so it's just, because I'm standing in between the benches, I look a lot more as if I belong there with my, you know, real legit SLR than holding the little RX100. I think I'm going to get a few questions from, hey, how come we're not allowed over there to do that? And holding that little camera, it might be
true.
A little bit ridiculous looking. Yeah, so.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But I might hold the big camera on my neck, pull it up once in a while, and then just shoot video with the little camera.
Yeah, you got to do that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. I also shot nothing interesting. Went ice skating, but you've seen about a million of those photos, so I'm not going to bore you with those.
Okay.
Just kidding. I have like 5 of them.
Oh, awesome. Let's look at
them. No, I don't. I'm not boring. I'm just joking. I'm not going to show them to you.
Okay.
Remember those pictures I shot skating last time?
Yeah.
Same.
They're like that.
Like that. With different friends came along, but you don't need to see the friends, so who cares?
Okay, great.
Like friends' kids, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, now my kid's not... My son is not, he's just turned 5. He's not Canadian good. He's definitely German good.
Right.
But he's not Canadian good yet at skating. He's pretty good. I taught him how to point his toe when he extends. Keep your front toe under your nose, and when you stride, you point your back toe behind you to get that long extension. He's all about that. So he races around like a madman, but does crash a fair bit.
Okay.
But he's okay. He gets right back up. He's got elbow pads and hockey gloves and a helmet, so he's good. What's remarkable is the number of kids out there who cannot skate. Like, first of all, you go to public skating here. You go to public skating in Vancouver, there's some non-skaters. But right. most people can skate, I find, in Canada, at least somewhat. I mean, not everybody can, you know, stop both ways, but they can get around the rink. Not so much here. There's a lot of newborn horses out on the ice.
Okay.
And so it's really tough when it's crowded, because you can't, like, I don't light it up or anything like that because it's pretty crowded, but it's just tough. You can't predict where they're going to go. And so a lot of close calls.
But, obstacles. Yeah, it's part of a game. You got to dodge the obstacles.
Yeah, but it's way too crowded with non-skaters. But for me, it's crazy to see the number of kids out there who cannot skate and do not wear helmets.
It's a deadly combination.
Hey, parents, come on now. Although they do look cooler than the kids wearing the bike helmets. So what are you going to do?
Yeah. Hey, you know what you should get Sam... if he's interested in this skating and hockey, is you should get him one of those little mini nets and a mini stick. They have legit mini sticks now, like with curves, and they're probably about $30, and they're by all the major stick manufacturers, and they're all made out of the same material that the whatever they are now, carbon fiber composite stuff. Uh-huh. But yeah, for $30 a stick, and just probably on Amazon, I'm going to guess about $20 for one of the mini nets and a little ball, and hours and hours and hours of entertainment. Jack, if he's playing alone in his room, it's just that, and it helps the hand eye. It's fun and something he can do on his own. A lot of good to it. We played together as well, but yeah, just a fun little thing. If he's into the skating, get him working on the hands.
All right,
there you go.
We'll see. I might sign him up for hockey in the next couple of years, and be a little bit more driving here because there's no rinks close by. But
Warrior makes a killer mini net. We have one of those in Jack's room. So there you go. There's my recommendation. Right. No, not a sponsor. Warrior is not a sponsor. Great mini hockey net.
I'll see if they're on Amazon.de, which I doubt, but never know.
Okay.
All right. I already reminded you of the monthly challenge. Photo challenge this week. Uno licto.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Latin for one light. This was Adam's choice, so why don't you go first, Adam?
Sure. There.
Okay, I'll go first. I'm looking at yours. I'm looking at yours right now.
Okay. There it is.
Did you miss focus?
Tiny bit. I still liked it. I had
the walls in focus, right? I have the wall and the Super Mario logo on his shirt.
Yeah, shirt is perfectly in focus. He is
not the whole shirt.
Most of it, like the
right his left hand side. I see the his right hand side not in focus.
His left hand perfectly in focus.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a tiny bit off. You're splitting hairs. I recognized it, and I just liked the photo, so I was like, what you get, mm-hmm. you get the point. I'm not trying to put a fast one over on you, but yes, a tiny bit off of focus on his eye.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's like saying I made spaghetti sauce. There is a tiny bit of dog poop in it, but it's only a tiny bit.
Wait. This is a very good photo. I'm going to throw that out.
No, it's very good spaghetti sauce too. And it's just a tiny little fleck of dog poop in it. I picked it out. You won't even know. You will not. I don't even know why I said it. The only reason you're going to know is because I said it.
If you didn't say it, you would have said this is the best spaghetti sauce that you've had in a while.
Is this oregano? And I'm like, no, it's dog poop. No, it's oregano. Not dog poop. No, why did I say dog poop?
I don't know.
Who said dog poop? You said dog poop.
Let's get back to the photo.
Okay.
This is a good photo.
Pretty good.
This has all the ingredients of what I was hoping to accomplish with one light. Here's the kicker. Jack gave me, again, this is how it works. This is a good exercise because I get about 6 clicks. So if I'm going to get the photo exactly the way I want it, I better get it in six attempts or 6 shutter clicks.
You know what you should do? You know what I'm going to start doing?
He's counting the clicks.
I understand that. You know what I'm going to do with my kids, and it's what you should do for your kids. Tomorrow or today or whenever you're driving him to hockey practice next, just pull out of your driveway, turn right on the main street there, go down half a block, stop, and just make him get out and go, yeah, that's far enough. I don't want to go the whole way. You know what? This took me long enough. Right. Enough, Jack. We're done.
I think valuable lesson. Well, I think it's also a good exercise and get it right. Like, just get it right quickly. And this is my favorite photo because in my mind, what I wanted was I wanted him tossing the ball up and then I wanted him looking up at the ball, which in actual fact was looking towards the light because this is a one light setup. And I wanted the one light to be able to light the ball, his shirt, his face, the wall. Like, again, I was trying to do a lot of things with one light just to show you don't need multiple lights and one light can go a long way if you think about where you put that one light and how you're going to direct it and whatnot. So this is one light on a stand with the softbox, the bigger softbox, the Cheetah Stand Q-Box softbox, and then the grid on it so that I'm really kind of aiming it at a specific spot, which is where you think it is. It's kind of, you know, towards his face in the wall because I want it to fall off. And the nice thing about using grids, because we haven't talked about maybe grids in a while, but you can really focus where you want the light, even from something like a softbox, if you use a grid. So this is gridded softbox, and the light on the football, the light on his face, the light on the wall, his hand position, everything was exactly what I wanted. And when I looked at this on the LCD, I'm like, we're done. Because I couldn't tell on the LCD that his eye was a slight bit out. And then when I looked at it on the computer, I'm like, ah, drats. I mean, I still really like the photo, but that was the miss. But everything else was right. The hand position, sometimes he's got the ball in the right place, but either I didn't like his hand position, or he's looking up at the light, but the ball isn't in the exact spot. So it looks like right. He's just looking at the light, which looks unnatural. So this was the perfect spot where all the pieces fell. And just unfortunately, I could have given myself a bit more wiggle room with the focus. I should have made it a little bit deeper.
Now he's levitating that ball, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm looking at here. He's just making it hover.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this photo too came... A lot of the idea came from just, again, revisiting that book I was talking about, just about where's the light coming from? Like what's interesting? Where should his gaze be? Where do I want the shadows on his face? And where do I have to position all the elements in the photo to make it work? And so this was a very thought out photo that, like I say, execution was 86%.
Nice. And I do like what you've done with the wall, like using a light to light up your subject and the wall. That's a nice move and comes in handy, but you know, had you decided, like here's where it's nice to have that flexibility. Had you decided you didn't want that wall lit up, it's just a matter of pulling them out like a couple of feet.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And you're off the races. So a lot of flexibility with that one light. All right.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. So mine's a color one. I posted two. I don't need to talk about the black and white one really.
Okay.
So it's just a color one. There you go. One light.
Do you like this?
That's in focus.
Yeah.
What don't you like about it?
I don't like it. There's nothing I like about it.
Okay.
No, I'm serious. And I saw this photo and I thought, what? I honestly, I'm not trying to be mean at all.
I got my big boy pants on, Adam.
But you have to think the same thing I do, which is this isn't good at all. Like I'm trying to think of it's in focus. You're right. That's probably the most redeeming feature of this, but mm-hmm. I don't like the shot. It's way too dark for me. Like, it's just like, are we trying to make somebody cry? I don't get it.
Her eyes are not saying I'm sad.
No, but the mood of the lighting
the mood is so sad.
Doesn't
need to be sad. It's called subdued. Is the black and white, she's smiling in the black and white one. Is that one better or is the same? Like, do you have the same emotions?
I looked at both of them and the one in black and white, it's worse to me because she's smiling, but it's so dark and dreary, the lighting, that it just doesn't make any sense. Like, right. It feels to me like, okay, someone took this that didn't know anything about lighting, because why would you light this emotion in this way? It just doesn't compute with my brain. And then the lack of smile in the other one, it's more fitting, but I still think why would you light it this? Her broad lighting is just way too overdone, in my opinion, is way too overdone and dramatic.
Broad lighting.
Or sorry, what did I say?
You said broad lighting.
Yeah, short lighting, sorry. Right. So yeah, the short lighting, and it's just far too overdone. And the only thing I can really I can say like about the photo is just the lighting on her hair on the far side of her face. I kind of like mm-hmm. the light there, but otherwise the pose, nothing. I don't like anything about it. So this is a controversial episode. You tell me what you like about it.
Well, I don't think everything has to look like an episode of season 5 of Seinfeld.
Okay. All right.
Was
that a happy season? Season 5?
Yeah, season 5 was good. Everything was like a lot of bright colors, a lot of smiles.
Okay.
That was the one where Kramer did that weird stuff.
All right.
Yeah. So, this is a situation of, well, I didn't want to just light everything like I've lit before. Like, oh yeah, I'll just do the same old lighting every week. So I decided, I'm going to do something that I don't normally do, which is low key lighting, which is going to be the topic this week. So,
oh no, I don't have to try to do this, right?
Well, it's going to be the challenge next week. So that's up to you. Hey, your challenge is we make it happy then.
Okay. But if I Google low key lighting, are the photos going to look like this or are they going to be good?
Oh no, no. This one's definitely bottom 100.
Okay. All right.
I don't think this is unhappy necessarily. And so Let's get into technique first. First of all, this was one light in obviously camera right and slightly behind the subject.
Yeah.
So that it's kind of, there's a bit of a backlight element, which so just a little hint going to hit the right side of her hair. I positioned it on purpose to so I could light up, sort of do like a shaping light and then make sure both of her eyes were lit barely. It's a SB24 in that little mini softbox that we have, and a little hint of smoke in behind. So what you see in the top left corner is actually from the smoke machine. Very
wow,
just a very hint of it.
You put in effort for this too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I think there's more to this than you seem to think. So you know.
Okay.
I know you like salt and pepper, but a little oregano is not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt you. Throw it. Next time, make the spaghetti sauce, try some oregano instead of the dog poop.
I feel like you knew that I was going to hate this photo, which is why you tried to jump to my photo first. You knew, like when you put this up there, you knew I was going to think this was terrible.
No.
You thought I was going to like it.
Well, I don't know. Have you ever seen a painting by Caravaggio? I mean, come on, man. I guarantee you, most of the listeners, until I said it just now, they were all thinking like, wow, this is like a totally like a Caravaggio. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Go ahead and post it in Instagram on the comments. If you side with Adam, go ahead and light me up. I don't care. But if you were thinking, man, that is a Caravaggio, don't. Feel free to write it down.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So there
you go.
All
right. How do we all do this? Because that's what
we don't have to do this necessarily. This is one example.
Okay.
I'm dying to see what you come up with next week now.
All right.
All right. So the topic this week is low key. This is a low key lighting.
Low key lighting.
What is, now Adam likes high key lighting for everything, evidently.
I'm going to Google low key right now. I'm going to see how it's supposed to look.
Yeah. I'll bet you Caravaggio comes up.
Okay.
Dude was good. I don't know. What can I say?
The first few images I'm looking at are much better.
Oh, are they? Oh, like the top three images on Google are better than the one I did in 60 seconds this afternoon. Huh?
No, you use Shocking. Smoke. You use smoke.
How long do you think smoke takes? I didn't build a fire. Actually, it's funny because the guy... this is a buddy of mine's girlfriend. He came by today. He wanted to borrow my smoke machine for his birthday party. And I was like, yeah, sure. But while you're here, I'm going to take the challenge shot. And so that's why I had the smoke machine out. And I'm like, yeah, we're using smoke, man. And so I'd shot him before. He's been in the challenge before, probably last year. He's one of the pitchers on our team. And so he's like, yeah, my girlfriend will do it. And I was like, yeah, I can make her look terrible, according to Adam. Yeah, so
you just printed this poster size for her bedroom.
Oh yeah. Right. I did.
Okay.
So the first thing she said was like, "Man, is that in focus?" And I was like, "Yeah, that's how I do it. It's how I keep things in focus. What can I say?"
Yeah.
So all right. So low key lighting. What does it mean besides? Does it mean dark? Some people think it just means take a super dark photo. Just take a regular photo, underexpose it, that's low key. Not really.
Okay.
Essentially, it means more areas in your image are darker than are light. Meaning, if you call it like a middle, like a gray card, you have more areas that are under the gray card than are over. Now, you have some areas that are over, but, and they are properly exposed, it's just there's very little of it. And so basically, you can either be sort of a spotlight effect, or if you're really good, which clearly I'm not, you would go with like pools of light to sort of create the mood.
Okay.
So that's a rather simple and broad explanation.
How many lights usually when you're doing this?
Could be anywhere from ambient light to... You could use a couple. I would say you wouldn't use very many because the idea isn't to overlight your subject. You kind of want to underlight it. Like in general, there's a reason I don't normally shoot like this because I have two young kids who, you know, are off running around playing baseball and gymnastics, and this doesn't match that. Like, this style does not match that activity.
Right.
Like, rarly would you shoot. I mean, they don't always have to be sad. Like, I don't find this one particularly sad. It is more somber. It's not an episode of Saved by the Bell, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And which would be a great example of high key lighting. But the lighting ratios in this are very high, very contrasty, probably 8-1 or maybe even higher. Although I brought the shadows up later on, so hard to say. But very contrasty. That's something else to look for. Does it mean, now I purposely shot mine in color because overwhelmingly people tend to associate low key lighting with black and white.
Yeah, it seems like most of the examples I'm looking at are, or let's not say most, let's say 70% of the ones I'm looking at on Google here are black and white.
It seems to be the go-to thing. Now, I would say it's overwhelmingly so, but it doesn't need to be. Don't just fall into that default setting of, oh, well, I'll just make it all underexposed, make it black and white, and call it low-key. Not really the case.
Okay.
So, it is the opposite of sitcom lighting. It's more film noir. It is, while Adam painted it as somber, I would say it's more about mystery. Maybe not in this case, but that's the idea. Like that's what it means to me, is a little more mysterious. There's a lot more shadow than light, so you're kind of left guessing. You ever been surfing?
Yes.
You ever seen a shark?
No.
You ever thought you see a shark? Saw a shark?
No.
You ever wondered if, hey, I wonder if there's a shark down there?
Yes.
That's scary. Now, I've been scuba diving and seen a shark, not a great white or anything like that, but I've been down there when there's a shark, and it's, you know, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. There's small sharks or sharks that are relatively harmless, and so I'm not big manning it. Like the video that came out today of that lady petting the giant 20-foot great white shark. Wow, that was amazing. If you haven't seen it yet, I'll send you a link after.
Sure, I have not.
Oh my goodness. So definitely her and I are in separate categories. Like I saw a picture of a shark in my bathtub compared to what she did. But point being, once you see it, like that's one thing. But I've been out paddling in the evening in Australia and seen some shapes down below, but can't really, so it's all left to my imagination, which is why I peed on the surfboard. Because that was scary. So it's to me, this kind of lighting is shark in the water. But you don't see it.
Gotcha.
So there you go. Dark, high contrast, a lot of shadows. Do the shadows, besides all focusing jokes aside, I don't mean focus, but do the shadows need to be sharp? You'll find a lot of the shadows in the examples you see online are these really sharp-edged, like hard light shadows.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to be that way. They can be, but I think a lot of the default setting is, okay, we're just going to use a hard light, throw it far away, and get those, you know, like the shooting the blinds. Like, oh, we're doing film noir? Well, get the guy a fedora, get him next to some Venetian blinds, and there you go. There's a lot more to it than just that. So use your imagination. The technique is, the way I see it and the way I go about this, is more about shaping your subject than it is illuminating. Generally, when you shoot a portrait like this, you're going to have the light out front a little bit more, maybe a little bit brighter, and light up more of her face, which I would say you're illuminating your subject versus now here you're shooting around her. Whereas something like what you shot, you're casting a lot more light in your subject with your son and the football.
Yeah.
Right. Those are two differing examples. Always one light. Now that's the point. That's the question you asked earlier. No, often one light because you don't want to just flood your whole thing, your whole subject. I would say generally, if I had had a little more time and another set of hands around, because there was one guy operating the smoke machine and that was it, I would have bounced a little bit of light into the right side of her hair, like just on the bottom there. Kind of what we talked about last week with the hair light. I would have added just a little bit in there. I find that to be a little bit too dead for no reason. But if I'm to take your advice, I will just burn my computer.
Yeah. Was this, sorry, with yours, was this a hard light? I can't remember what you said.
It was the small softbox that we have.
Oh, okay.
You know, the little camera mounted one.
Yeah.
So it's not like I snooted it and had it, you know, on full zoom and have a hard light, but it's not tremendously soft either. It's kind it leans to more towards hard than soft.
Yeah.
But it does split it up a little bit.
I was just looking at it again and just, it's not flattering to her skin. Like that light in,
no.
Just the way it's falling on her forehead and on her cheek, it just makes things look rough.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that would have been a difference maker for this, because I think it's the shadow side of the face and head and everything in this one that I don't like. But I was just wondering about the light source, because I'm like, I don't think that's the same softbox I use. I think you'd get a very different quality of that light on her face.
You would.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, also, you know, she's sort of in that wheelhouse. Her boyfriend's going to listen to this, so I want to be... never mind. Let's move on with this game. Well, she's she's probably 19.
Right.
So,
yeah,
you know, that's normal.
Right.
This is legit. I considered what you thought, you know, should I go on Instagram her up? And I thought, no, she's a good-looking girl. I'm not going to go and touch any of that.
No, absolutely. So, yeah.
I don't like
no,
that.
No, I blame the photographer for just not doing a better job.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Okay, so how do we achieve this? Like, how do you go about this? Just basically, first step,
background.
Yeah, not that important though. I mean, it is, but let's say you have that's a maroon background. That's my basement.
Okay.
But First step is knock down that ambient, create the dark background. So if you have a black background, black backdrop, that's going to go a long way to help you.
Make it easier. Yeah.
It makes it a little easier. But this one, it doesn't matter. I pulled her back from the background a little bit and, set it, you know, ISO 100 F4, maybe 5.6. I forget. Not really important, but it's in that range. With a shutter speed of 1/200th of a second, which is the max that the 5D Mark III will do. And that creates complete dark in the room with ambient light coming in.
Right.
So we kill all that ambient, and now the only light we're going to get, we're only going to see, is from the flash, which is very low because it's not far out of frame. It is probably 1/32nd power, even in the softbox. And that gives us just enough to give us a nice exposure on that part of her face. Soft, hard light doesn't really matter. It's kind of what you would want. The one thing about hard light is it's much easier to control the spill. So if you don't want the background lit up and you're in a tight space, you might be forced to kind of go with a harder light just to keep it off the background. And if you have Adam's gridded softbox and a little bit of space, you'll get away with it. But hard light is going to be easier to control,
right? Or something low powered like LED light, because you're going to have a lot easier time controlling where the spill is from that as well.
That's true. But even then, I mean, yeah, I guess what you see is what you get. It can be a little easier that way too. It doesn't have to be a flash. That's the other thing too, is I have shot not necessarily this exact style, but I have shot low key shots using window light.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you can get a decent background that'll fall off into darkness pretty quick and you position your subject correctly, you can get a good image that way. Generally, you want to position your light to the side or sort of behind/3/4 combo in that range. If you're too much behind, it's like straight on behind. It's kind of, I suppose it's low key, but it's a kind of a different feel to it. This one's about, let's see if it's about 2:00 if the clock's laying flat on the ground.
Okay.
That makes sense? So just camera right would be 3 o'clock, behind her is 12. It's probably at the 2 o'clock spot, just to give enough, a little edge and enough wraparound to hit her hair / her right eye, which I thought it would have been. I took a couple where her right eye was not illuminated, and it looked worse than this, if you can believe it. What up? Now, rarely are you going to shoot the light, you know, close to the camera axis. That's going to be light up too much of your subject. You're probably not going to qualify as low-key lighting. Next is you're going to kind of, I would say, is underlit. You're going to underlight your subject, but you're going to expose for the highlights. That's what I do, is that little bit of on her face. That's what I'm exposing for, and I'm fine with everything else dropping off to black. And then you can kind of adjust it in post if you need to. I also find that what I go for is that the lit part of the subject should not dominate your frame. It should be the focus, just to go back to that word, but it should be the main point, but it's not the greatest part of the frame is not her face. That's right. the lit part anyways. So it's just sort of a hint. More mystery than light.
Oh, I just thought of something. This is totally the Bandcamp girl from American Pie.
Oh yeah,
totally is. And she was she was in that other show with How I Met Your Mother. That's the other TV show she was in.
Yeah. Right.
That's her. She's a pretty good stunt double for whatever that actress's name is.
Allison?
I don't know. Okay.
I need to know her name now.
Okay. Well, it's Google.
Allison Pie.
Sure.
No. American Buffy. She's Buffy, right?
Was she in Buffy too?
Is she Buffy?
I
never saw Buffy. I remember seeing American Pie way back. Speaking of that, American Pie?
Yeah.
20 years old.
Wow.
20 years ago, I saw American Pie in the theater.
Wow. I saw it on VHS.
Did you?
Yeah, VHS.
Oh, man. I remember seeing it in a packed theater, opening night. Nobody knew what it was. They hadn't really advertised it. It was just a very, very low-budget movie that came out. You didn't know anybody in it. Like, I don't think I guess Buffy would have been the only one. Well, Eugene Levy. You knew
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Especially if you were Canadian, you knew
Eugene.
Yeah. And I remember it just being a packed audience and the place went nuts. Like it was laughter, laughter, laughter. Good times. So I'll let her know. I'm pretty sure it's Allison something.
Okay.
I gotta know. Are you Googling it while I'm rambling?
No, I can though. I will.
No, don't bother now. Okay. We'll just not know.
Okay, well, let's not.
We'll not know.
Yeah.
All right, so that's how you do low-key lighting. And now next week, we're going to find out how Adam does low-key lighting.
Yeah, much better than this.
How could you not? You've already done it. Without even doing it, you've already done it better.
Allison Hannigan.
It's Allison, right?
Yeah, but it's spelled like Alyson. Interesting.
Yeah, no, I knew that.
Yeah, Allison Hannigan. There you go.
I couldn't get Allison Janney out of my head. So that's why I couldn't. Speaking of which, I, Tonya, did you see that?
Yeah.
Love it. Loved
pretty,
it.
Pretty good, yeah.
A lot of high-key lighting in that on the rink. So, all right. Monthly challenge reminder is Bounceboard, hashtag that two hosers monthly challenge, or hashtag hey hosers on Instagram, and we will check those out in 2 weeks. But next week, challenge is low-key. I'm looking forward to that. Hashtag Caravaggio. And websites. Adam, where can people find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
And you can find mine at AlanAtridge.com, the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.